Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, May 15th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, we had a couple of false starts to get Jason Goff on this program. And guess what? What serendipity? Our tornado watch is up, some bizarre and bad weather ahead. And we have meteorologist Jason Goff in the studio to answer your calls at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. And there are other ways to contact us. I'll tell you about the email. It's voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. But the number, and there's nobody on right now, get in line, 800-348-2551. Meteorologist Jason Goff is here. The weather may turn bad. The show may turn good. We'll find out after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. As timely as today's weather headlines, we welcome back meteorologist Jason Goff to take your calls today. Formerly of News Channel 13 in Albany, his forecasts have been broadcast all over this region, including on this station for years. Always a pleasure to welcome Jason Goff back to this show. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. I say as timely as today's headlines, we have, Jason Goff, a tornado watch up.
Yeah, we do. First of all, thanks. I'm glad to hang out with you, Ray.
Welcome and, back. We had a couple of false starts. We had a miscommunication.
We did.
And then there was a show that I did. We didn't really find out you weren't going to be on until right about showtime. And it was an open forum, free-for-all, at which we sent we sent the tapes to the Museum of Broadcasting.
I'm sure.
Which they promptly burned. And then a couple of weeks ago, you were going to be on, and then I think there was a presidential press conference.
Yeah, it was a week ago today, and the president talking about the Iran deal. So here we are today.
This is great.
This is perfect. And so let's just jump right into it. Speaking of your tornado watch, Ray, it's in effect until 8 o'clock. Tonight, the northern extent of it is Saratoga and Washington counties, and then over into Bennington and Windham counties in Vermont, Berkshire County in Massachusetts, Litchfield County in Connecticut, and then down the Hudson Valley from there, as well as out 88 toward Binghamton. In fact, there's a tornado warning now just north of Binghamton. I'm sorry, south of Binghamton near Williamsport into Pennsylvania. So we are, as I like to say, open for business today, brother.
Okay, so before we get going on how a tornado is made and what happens, tell us the difference between a watch and a warning and what it means when there is actually a tornado warning.
Well, I always like to say this because it's easy to remember. You watch for a warning.
Right.
All right. So then that way you know that a watch could be meaning that storms are going to get severe or, you know, a tornado warning could show up. A warning means duck. It's here. It's coming.
Does that mean it's already happening?
It's happening or it is imminent.
Okay.
As the Weather Service likes to say. And so you have to just really on a day, especially like this, because we have a lot of juice in the atmosphere, lots of different things going on, and it all adds up to what is going to be a stormy day. And I don't hesitate to say this. I would be surprised if we did not have at least one or two tornado warnings today in somewhere in eastern New York or western New England, or especially as you head farther down the Hudson Valley.
Mm, okay, and a tornado. We've talked about this before, and it was pretty funny. The open forum that we had when you weren't here, first caller was, how do you make a tornado? How does a tornado made? And, of course, Mr. Radio gave a terrible answer. Why don't you tell us really what a tornado is and how they form?
Well, what you have to have first is a rotation within a storm itself. And so, and especially in the lower part of the storm, like basically at the cloud base, you'll start to get some rotation. That can be geared up because of what's going on in the atmosphere with the dynamics or the kinematics, as it were, where you have wind shear, which is a change of wind direction with height. So you'll start to see some storms rotating. And the environment that we are in right now, out ahead of this cold front that's coming through today, is one that you really have to watch out for the potential for tornadoes, because you get these little rogue cells and they're sort of on their own. I mean, they are rogue is a good way to put it, and they'll start to rotate. Now, that doesn't mean that you're always going to get a tornado out of it, but it means you got to pay attention, and that's, again, why we're under a watch
right now. And what causes wind shear?
Wind shear is basically you have an environment, you know, weather doesn't always just, you know, doesn't happen only on the ground. It happens at various layers of the atmosphere. So you might have an upper-level disturbance that's bringing in winds from the west, but you have southerly winds a little closer to the surface, or maybe even up to 10,000 feet. So you have to keep an eye out for that. And basically what you're also looking for is, in a case like this where we had some sunshine this morning, you have a lot of updrafts, which is just the birth of any cloud, let alone any sort of a nasty storm. But as things get going in the atmosphere, things get pretty frisky and pretty chaotic in a hurry.
The only couple of times I've seen the sky when there are tornadoes present, it almost looked green to me.
Yes.
Why?
That is because of the hail, actually. It doesn't have anything to do with the tornado. Now, hail certainly can be a precursor to a tornado, to be sure. But as we all know, just because you have hail doesn't mean you're going to have a tornado. But what happens is those clouds, you know, they're really dark, and sometimes the bottoms of those things are like black.
Yep.
And so what's happening is the sun is coming in because during the day, but all those light, the light is getting filtered out, right? Remember your Roy G. Biv on the rainbow and all that?
Yeah.
So hail will filter out all of the light except for the green wavelength. That spectrum will allow that to come through. And that's why it has that sort of light limish green color to it. And if you see that, I mean, tornado aside, you just still need to duck and get out of the way.
Now, we can have hail without a tornado, but can you have a tornado without hail?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's a lot of ice involved, right?
Well, there is, and we have, with all of the updrafts that we have going on today, that is a lot of air getting fed into the atmosphere, and then, as I said, with the wind shear, that starts to turn with height, but you also have a lot of cold air aloft. So you have these strong updrafts, again, feeding that storm from the surface, getting all the way up into the atmosphere, and it's those updrafts are strong enough to support larger hail. Eventually, gravity is going to win out.
Right.
But the stronger the storm, the stronger the updraft, means the larger the size hail that you're going to get. That's why we don't typically see huge hailstones around here. Today might be one of those days. It's certainly not unheard of around here. We can have some decent, you know, 2 to 3 inch hail in these parts. It's just a lot less common than it is in other parts of the country.
Jason Goff is our guest today. We talk weather on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. Let's take a call or two before we get to our first break. And we kick it off with our buddy Jim in North Pownell, Vermont. Hiya, Jim.
Hey, Ray. What'd you do, sleep in your Cadillac?
What do you mean, man?
You've been on the air all day.
Oh, that's all right. You know, that's part of the fun. And I say fun very, very loosely. What's going on?
Jason, I really respect your forecasts. I'm a former U.S. Navy meteorologist, and I follow meteorology very, very closely. I've done forecasting myself. I can plot a weather map from the synoptic code, mm-hmm. and analyze it and project a forecast.
That's old school, like, Jim. I like that.
Like it's old school. Do you guys still use the synoptic code, or do you do everything with computers
now? What is
now?
The synoptic code?
The synoptic code is basically at a manned or an unmanned station. So if you have a manned station, that's somebody that has their own weather station, or if it's a station that's at the weather at a weather service office or wherever, as opposed to a site that's out at the airport, which is automated.
Mm-hmm.
But everything still gets plotted out. So, yeah, so basically what it is you have what's known as a station plot. There are thousands of stations around, and within that, it
looks NDDFF, VVWWW,
all that kind of stuff. Now, when you get into some of the METAR code and stuff like that, I can read it. I haven't used it since I graduated from school because, again, everything is more streamlined with computers and the like. But if you look at a surface map with station plots, you can ascertain the wind direction, the wind speed, the sky cover, dew point, temperature, pressure. So all of those things. So, yeah, all those are still used. They're used because they help in part to feed into the models to get future forecasts out of them.
Jim, how's the weather up in Vermont?
Cool. Right now it's pretty calm, but, you know, we had a little shower earlier, and I know something's coming in because I can see the clouds.
It is. How much sun do you have there right now?
Nothing.
No sun. Nothing. Overcast. Okay.
All right. Yep. Hey, Jim, thank you for getting us started today, my friend. We appreciate it. Let's go over to Doug in Hudson. Doug, you're on.
Hello, Ray and Jason. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Doug.
Real quickly, I'm a pilot. I'm on aviationweather.gov probably several times a day. I'm a flight instructor and examiner as well. One question, you're probably familiar with the Aeromets, Sierra Tango and Zulu Tango, dealing with turbulence, high-level, low-level, low-level wind shear, and sustained winds exceeding 35 knots on the ground. My question is, quite often when I'm looking at the graphical Aeromets, offshore, sometimes up and down the entire Atlantic coast or off the Pacific coast, there are areas of these high winds where they're nowhere else. I'm wondering if you could tell me why.
Well, I'm speculating because I don't know a ton about aviation meteorology, but just getting into the synoptics of what you're talking about in proximity to the coast. First of all, over water, you have less friction. So that's one thing. And then, so that's not going to, you know, friction is going to slow wind down.
Friction from the ground.
Friction from the ground.
I see.
Which is why, by the way, you get tornadoes with a landfalling tropical system. It's friction. Everything slows down.
Okay.
But I digress. The other piece, too, Jim, is that especially this time of year, you have pretty big differences in temperature. And so you could have, depending on your wind direction, so let's say you're in, you know, Boston. If you have a good screaming west wind in Boston in April, you might see temperatures well into the 80s. And the water temperature in Cape Cod Bay or, you know, into the Atlantic close by, the water temperature might be in the low to mid 40s. So you have a big temperature difference there. And just like, you know, if you have a shower that doesn't have the sliding glass door, but you have the curtain, especially in a cold winter morning and you get in the hot shower, that curtain moves, same kind of thing where you just have that temperature difference where you're going to have warm air flowing to colder air. So that's a it's a kind of a simplistic way to put it. But I would venture to say that as you get into the summertime, you would see less in terms of those types of winds or those wind differences, especially as you near the coast coming off of the water.
All right, Doug, we have to take a break, but thank you for the call. Jason Goff is our guest, and we talk weather on what could be a very interesting weather day. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WMC comes from Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. Chester Common Table, Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts. Locally sourced comfort food, beers, wine, and cocktails. Live music every Friday, ChesterCommonTable.com. Stavros, helping people with disabilities achieve their dreams. Offices in Amherst, Greenfield, and Springfield. Stavros.org for more information. Coldham and Hartman Architects, serving clients throughout New England and New York with architecture designed for resilience and renewability, designed for the next 100 years. CNHArchitects.com. And State Street Fruit Store, Deli, Wines, and Spirits, downtown Northampton, a locally owned, community-minded grocery and specialty food store since 1922. Wine tastings every Friday, 4 to 7. StateStreetFruit.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, joined today by meteorologist Jason Goff, and our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We talk weather today and some tornado watches up. I think you said there was a warning as well.
Yeah, there's a warning down in northern Pennsylvania, north of Williamsport, but the atmosphere that we're in right now is pretty ripe for some rather nasty storms today with the potential of a tornado. That's why we have a tornado watch. I saw a really funny graphic that also explains this very well. You have the Wicked Witch of the West. She's the warning.
Yeah.
And then you have, and I can't remember her name now, the woman that becomes the Wicked Witch of the West.
Oh,
who rides the bike. That's the watch.
Oh, Glenda the Good Witch, or I don't remember. Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Jason Goff is our guest. And let's go over to John in Canaan. John, you're on.
Oh, thanks very much. Jason, I have two questions. One is about terminology, and the other is about history. You often refer to two terms that I don't quite understand what they are. One is the use of the word cell when talking about weather,
uh-huh.
and the other is the use of the word energy when you're talking about weather. What are cells and energy in those contexts?
Well, a cell is actually something specifically that we're going to be watching through this afternoon for the potential, at least for some rotating, we call it rotating updrafts. They're basically individual storms. And even a lot of times, if you have, it doesn't have to be a day that's as robust as this, but you might have a day where it just seems like, good grief, the storm has not stopped and it's been thundering for an hour and a half. That's actually going to be a couple of different cells, probably three, maybe even four, depending on how the rest of the atmosphere is set up. But there are individual cells that are generally out ahead in a what we call a warm sector, which is where we are right now. And so when you see those little individual storms, those are known as cells. Now, as far as energy is concerned, energy is what drives the machine, man. You got to have a lot of energy coming in. It can be done from thermodynamics, which is just simple. You know, where you might have heard us say, hey, if the sun is going to be out through the morning and early afternoon, that's going to really heat things up and, you know, kind of bubble things going. So you have a lot of energy, specifically the latent heat of condensation, if we want to get real technical with it. That's the energy that drives the storms.
So energy in this sense is basically heat and heat differential.
Yes, heat and heat differential. But you also have energy in the form of kinematics in the atmosphere, which can be wind fields and you know, wind shear and things like that.
Right.
So there are lots of it takes different forms, but it's a very general term. You're right, but it is energy just the same.
Okay, and the second question is historical. I've lived in the same place, and my family's lived in the same place for quite a long time. And the first time I remember anybody ever reporting or experiencing a tornado in my area, I'm just on the border of New York and Massachusetts, was in, I think, 1972. There might have been others before that, but I certainly don't remember them. And I guess my question is my memory wrong, or have we always had tornadoes? I grew up thinking tornadoes were in Kansas, you know, and other places like quite a distance from us, and now that's not true anymore. Has something changed?
No, nothing has changed other than technology. So back in the early 70s, we didn't have the radar technology that we have now. We didn't have the satellite technology, but certainly tornadoes, while they're a lot more common in Kansas than they are here, tornadoes have always been in the Northeast, and they always will be, just thankfully not in great numbers.
Okay. All right, John,
thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Meteorologist Jason Goff is our guest today on Vox Pop. Let's go to Lou in Albany. Lou.
Hi, Jason. This is Lou, your former colleague from the station.
Hey,
how are you?
Lou S., my brother. How are you, man?
Good, man. It's great to hear your voice, and I had a call in, and I actually have a question I've been wondering about.
Okay, fire away.
What is the most important, or maybe you could rank them 1 to 3 or 1 to 5, depending on how deep you want to go, the most important aspect of weather that makes it change? Like you talk about dew point, wind speed, humidity, barometric pressure, things like that. The reason is I was out in Oklahoma visiting my son Joe, who you know, is in the service out there, and it's so windy out in Oklahoma, the weather changes every half day. You know, one day it's 70, the next day it's 40, the next day, you know, whatever. So it got me thinking, what is the most important, if you could rank them, or is there, aspect of weather that people should be, know about?
Well, that's a good point, Lou. I mean, it actually, that list varies depending on where you are. Now, when you're in Oklahoma, it's flat as a board out there, and so the weather does change, you know, or it can change pretty quickly, where you get these fronts that just come barreling through and there's nothing to really slow them down. So, but for this area specifically, I would just say very generally, to me, the most important thing as far as really getting thunderstorms going is what we call thermodynamics, because we don't generally have the energy in the atmosphere here that they do in other parts of the country where you get more tornadoes. So for us, if we need a little bit of an extra shot of juice, and that's going to come from the thermodynamics, which is the sun heating up the ground, which heats up the atmosphere. So that's huge. And then you also want to look at the winds and their direction, specifically because of the Hudson Valley. You can get some extra twisting of the atmospheric winds that could lead to a tornado. That's what happened in Great Barrington in 95 when that storm scooted across the Hudson and it picked up some more juice from the added rotation that the valley helped to provide. So it really kind of depends on the situation, but overall, to me, the sun is where it's at.
Well, Lou, thank you for the call. Jason Goff is our guest, and the number is 800-348-2551. Tim in Olive Bridge is next. Tim.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. One of my favorite parts of the midday weather summary is the national high and low in the 48 contiguous states. Uh-huh. And for some reason, I look forward to that so much. I think it's just fascinating that it can be like a 100-degree difference. But it frequently isn't part of the show. And I'm just wondering why that is. If the data is not available, or if the time restraint, or what?
You're talking about on a newscast itself?
On this one,
The midday weather summary.
Yeah. Oh, for WAMC.
Paul Caiano does that one, and
They're 24-hour highs and lows. So during the midday, that's the next day. So I believe that he would put that in his morning report.
I think it is more in the morning.
And that was for the previous day. So, yeah, it's only reported every 24 hours. And I think it comes out, at 2 or 3 in the morning, something like that.
Well, that's a good question, Tim, and I wish I could give you a better answer. But, I mean, when I'm doing midday, the weather forecast starts, and then I'm getting ready for something else, half listening to make sure he's still on the air. But
midday here it's 9 in the morning. You know, especially in the spring and summer, you get some of those places out in the desert Southwest that their high temperature isn't going to be realized until our dinner time.
Yeah,
so
you make a point.
It's the next day that you'll get that.
Let's go over to Murph in Wendell, Mass.
I like this question,
Murph. You're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm always trying to remember, am I supposed to leave the windows open if we get whacked with a tornado,
supposed
to leave them closed?
That is a great question.
The old wisdom was you got to crack the windows, pressure differential being what it is.
Right. And they would say that during a hurricane as well. The short answer is it doesn't make a gosh darn bit of difference what you do. It makes no difference.
Really?
No difference. Because the pressure is going to be the differences are going to be so great anyway that opening the window is a waste of time. What you need to do is
get to the basement
or get to an interior room, preferably a bathroom of the house with no windows. That's the important thing to do.
But in a tornado, the windows will blow out, right?
They will, and I've seen that. There was when I lived in Corpus Christi, there was a tornado that went right through downtown, blew out all the car windows. So for something like that where you have a smaller vehicle, I suppose, it certainly couldn't hurt. Chances are something might fall on the window anyway, so who cares?
Yeah.
But as far as what your house is concerned, your opening the windows is not going to make any difference as far as any kind of discernible damage that you'll have to your home, whether the windows are wide open or shut or halfway in between.
All right, Murph. Well, good
Great.
Luck.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
You're welcome.
A lot for the call. Over to Virginia in Brown Point. Virginia, you're on.
Hello there. I'm so delighted to hear this discussion. It's just great.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
It gives me a chance to ask a question that's been on my mind for several months. Last summer, I was researching materials for the Jones Beach Nature Center and got very interested in the Hudson Canyon that comes out into Long Island Sound and out into the ocean and is our shipping canal. And I've always wondered why it seemed like Sandy was taking such a beeline on New York City, especially given that it was a high tide and a spring tide and the wind was in the right direction and all that stuff. Did the Hudson Canyon have any impact on that pass?
No. No, I can't say that 100% definitively. Maybe there could be some minute But the, you know, any kind of a tropical or an extra tropical storm, which is what Sandy was, is going to be driven by winds above the surface. They don't care about ocean currents. That's as simply as I can put them.
Terrain doesn't come into it at all.
I'm sorry?
Terrain doesn't come into it a lot.
Well, terrain has a lot to do with storms, but it's the terrain above ground, not underneath the water.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome.
Thanks, Virginia. We appreciate the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Jason Goff is our guest today. We talked the weather, and tornado watches are up until 8 p.m. for several counties in New York and I believe in western Massachusetts as well.
Yeah, Berkshire County, also Bennington and Windham counties in Vermont and Litchfield County in Connecticut. There's a severe thunderstorm watch to our west and to our south, so we are kind of in the sweet spot, if you will, for the potential for some tornadoes or at least some gusty winds and some pretty big hail today.
Okay, back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. John in Poughkeepsie. John, you're on.
Hi. Margaret Hamilton played the actress that was the Wicked Witch of the West, and she also played the old lady on the bicycle. I think her name was Miss Gooch.
I couldn't remember her name. But I remember it was Margaret Hamilton.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
Her son, Hamilton Missouri, published at the Conic Press.
Oh, cool.
But I have a question for you.
Okay.
All right.
And this, especially with regard to television weather readers or forecasters or maybe even their actual weathermen. Why is it that the weekend forecast is always great on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but as Thursday and Friday roll around, the weekend forecast deteriorates to something more realistic?
That's because we like the golf courses to ourselves, man.
No.
I'm guessing that you had something big planned and for an upcoming weekend, and on a Monday or Tuesday, the forecast looked great, and then through the week, it started to go downhill. In truth, it has nothing to do with a weekend. It's just the amount of days out from a particular forecast, and you know, as we say, the farther out you go in forecasting, the less reliable those forecasts are because there's so many different variables.
The advertising spots around the weather.
I'm sorry?
I always figured it was that the advertisers paid a premium for showing their commercials before and after the weather, so that the stations wanted to have good news as often as they could.
Oh my gosh! You're saying cynically that money could play a role in this? Interesting.
Yes,
no, well,
I do.
No, we like to have good forecasts all the time, man, and hopefully, you know, as we get into the summer, longer term forecasts tend to hold a little bit more, five, six, even 7 days, but that's about the only time around here that you can really kind of say, well, this is looking pretty good, because, you know, springtime is a transitional season, and, you know, anything after 3 days, I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock into
it. I tell you, the weekends have been as the father of a kid who plays baseball games, the weekends have been horrendous.
It's been brutal. There have been rain out after rain out for all ball games and softball and everything else. It's not been a good 2018 thus far, but it's still young.
They played Saturday morning at 10 a.m. in a cold, must have been about a 50-some-odd degree drizzle.
Oh,
it was
brutal.
Just brutal. All right, let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Jen in Washingtonville. Jen, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I have a question. I seem to get really severe headaches. The worse the temperature, not the temperature, the weather, especially like today. I really have nothing's helping to relieve this headache. Does it have something with the barometric pressure? Does that affect someone personally, get a really bad headache?
Certainly it can. It certainly wouldn't help. And I'm going to, if you would give me just a second, I'm going to be able to, we just had a tornado warning issued.
Okay.
For northeastern Ulster County, north central Dutchess County, and southwestern Columbia County. So,
and that's a warning.
That is a warning. So we're talking about,
right.
And I'm just now looking at, I have a great app on my phone. So it's actually just to the southeast of Saugerties, our friends in Salt Lake, and this was the Warren storm from before. There does appear to be a little bit of rotation on this. That does not mean that it's definitely a tornado. The only way, by the way, a tornado can be verified is by a set of human eyes. Or a camera or something right. along those lines. But the Weather Service office can certainly issue a severe or a tornado warning just based on what they're seeing on the radar, which is looking at the difference in wind with height. So anyway, to answer your question, yes, certainly we can, headaches can be, certainly exacerbated by the weather, now, certainly changes in weather.
Is it barometric pressure or is it the amount of moisture in the air? That's the question. Now, I've often found the correlation between sinus headaches and bad weather.
Well, here's the thing. What a lot of people don't understand is that, and what we were talking about golf course before, when you have really humid air, and it's pretty muggy out right now, the last dew point temperature I saw was 66 in Albany. That's pretty muggy.
Yeah.
That air is light.
Yeah.
So it's going to exert less pressure on your sinuses, on your head, in terms of a golf ball, it's going to travel farther because the air is lighter. You would be more apt to get into some headaches and nastiness when that lower pressure goes away and it's replaced by higher pressure, and that will add a little bit more to it.
Unless the low pressure outside is making your head want to explode, and that's what you're feeling.
That could be too.
Which I often feel. Let's take a break here. 800-348-2551. Jason Goff is our guest today. And, the weather is... It's interesting today. We'll go back to the phones in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Mass Match. For over 16 years, a locally owned dating and matchmaking service connecting singles through private matchmaking in Western Massachusetts and beyond. MassMatch.com. The Albany Pine Bush Discovery Center, presenting the Lupine Fest with crafts and food vendors, music, live wildlife programs, and guided tours, June 2nd from 10 to 4, albanypinebush.org. Veterinary Hospital of Laura Lynn Brown, Turner's Falls, Massachusetts, providing comprehensive care for dogs and cats for over 25 years. New clients welcome, drlauralynnbrown.com. Kent Hicks Construction, specializing in deep energy retrofits, passive house, zero energy homes, and historic restorations, serving the Berkshires, Pioneer Valley, and all of Western Massachusetts for over 25 years. KentHicksConstruction.com. And Innovative Therapy Solutions, a therapy and wellness practice now offering acupuncture for children, teens, and adults to relieve stress, anxiety, depression, and chronic pain. Information available at 413-528-8888.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you, and really pleased to welcome back Jason Goff to these airwaves at 800-348-2551. If you have a weather question, Jason is watching the weather radar right now, and we have tornado watches up and I guess a warning down near Saugerties Way.
Yes, and then into southern Columbia County as well. So places like just basically to the south of Germantown now, north of Pine Plains there in Dutchess County. So making its way. It looks like it's got a little bit of rotation to it, just to the north of Red Hook. So again, warning, a tornado warning issued by the Weather Service, Doppler indicated, which means it has not been spotted as yet.
Right.
And we'll see what happens. But certainly a warning is something to be taken very seriously.
So take some cover.
You want to take some cover. Get into the lowest level of your house. Basement is best. If you don't have a basement, get into an interior room. Bathrooms work best. Stay away from windows.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. And Jeremy in Chatham. Jeremy, you're on.
Okay. So I've been doing some little calculations here using a NOAA website called Climate at a Glance. You can download the information into Excel and make some simple calculations. And here's the calculation I come up with. Comparing the average annual temperatures for 1895 to 2000 to 2000 to the present. And what I come up with is that the average annual temperature in Albany has increased 2 degrees since comparing 2018 to the previous century.
Yep.
Now, assuming that 2 degrees is accurate for the sake of argument,
yes.
Shouldn't that increase the kind of events we're having today? And secondly, is anybody keeping track of this?
Yes, they are keeping track of it. And, in theory, certainly the more heat you add to any particular situation, the more potential there is. As we said before, heat is energy, and that's going to, you know, that can give some things an extra boost that otherwise, you know, may not have. Now, again, it's, you know, this is, that's what the theory says. And, you know, as I've said 100 times on the show, global warming and climate change are real, period. So we are definitely paying attention to this.
Jeremy, thanks for the call. Over to Dave in Bloomingdale. Dave, you're on.
Oh, hey, Ray and Jason. Great show. I've always wondered, you hit on it a little while ago about the sun hitting the ground and heating up the atmosphere. I've always wondered, like today, it's very cloudy. Does the sun have an effect on the weather still more than at night when it's not out?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, the clouds are still allowing some light to come through, so it will heat the ground up a little bit, just not as much as if it were a cloudless day, to, you know, of course, but
it
certainly can.
Aren't as severe.
I'm sorry?
The storms aren't as severe as like a...
Well, then at least they wouldn't have that component to help to make them severe, but that doesn't mean that you can't have severe weather if you have a cloudy day. That is, and today is a perfect example of that.
I'll watch out. Thank
All right,
you.
Sir. Please do. Thanks,
you. Thanks, Dave. Jason Goff is our guest. 800-348-2551, the number. Mary in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Mary, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to clear up the fact that Margaret Hamilton's character was Elvira Gulch.
Gulch. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that.
All
right. Bye now. Have a good one. Let's go over to Paul in Amherst. Paul, you're on.
Hey there, Jason and Ray. How are you?
Hey, just fine, sir.
Hey, I got a question I've had for years and years, and it probably sounds like a silly question, but I've never got an answer that I thought was acceptable, especially when you hear a weatherman or you're watching or listening to the weather. They'll always say it's 2 above 0 or it's 3 degrees above 0 or it's 4 degrees above 0. I always wondered why they say that, because if they said it was 3 degrees, obviously there could be no mistake that it was 3 degrees.
Yeah, like, three, you know.
Below. And usually the only answer I ever got was, well, just so you know, it's above zero. But if you said, Paul, it's 4 degrees out today, I certainly wouldn't think it's 4 degrees below 0.
No, and you know, and really, like, what's the difference between 4 above and 4 below?
But what if you've had a string where you've had a lot of below zero?
Yeah, I guess it's just a way to delineate, you know, because you're so close to that zero mark. Now, you're not going to hear anybody say, well, hey, the high temperature today is going to be 77 above zero.
Well, you make
you know
point.
What I mean?
Sure.
So, but as you get closer, I've never really thought about that. But, you know, but you're right. I mean, inherently, you are assuming that when you're giving a number, if there's not a sign in front of it, positive or negative, you assume it's positive. So that's a good question.
Point. Well, thank you, Paul. We appreciate that. I mean, maybe we'll just use Kelvin from now on.
Yeah, we could do that, too. Really freak people out. It's going to be 313 degrees today.
I like it. Our number is 800-348-2551. If you have a question for Jason Goff, who is keeping an eye on the weather radar right now, 800-348-2551. We'll go over to Randy in Kingston. Randy, you're on.
Hey, thank you very much, and a very nice program. I'm a ham operator, and I've been a member of Skywarn since the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we dig people like you.
Well, I sent in my report. The Kingston-Rhinecliff Bridge, the flag on it is... The winds are coming up out of the south. Net flag is just standing out straight, so it's lots of energy from the south. And you want to talk about a knife edge, inky green black to the north of the bridge, to the south, blue sky, white puffy clouds. Never seen such a knife. And looks like the beginning of a wall cloud. So I'm going to get off because I've got to go on duty, but enjoying the program.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, keep your eyes open, man.
So the knife edge, is that a real thing?
It's a description for sure. I've never really, but it certainly it could look that way because it could be a really sharp line in the sky that you can see. This warning has been now pushed a little farther. Now it's to the east of Saugerties and just south of Germantown. But again, some pretty good rotation, it looks like, with the storm. Places like Copaic Lake maybe having to deal with this before too long, and north of Pine Plains, just to kind of give some folks a point of reference there in the southern Columbia and northern Dutchess counties.
Yeah.
Again, this is a warning that is in effect until actually, I don't even have that, maybe 3:15 or 3:30. So we'll keep you posted on that. Again, a watch is in effect until 8 tonight.
So our buddy who was at the Kingston-Rhinecliffe Bridge, who said it was blue sky on one part of the sky and then dark green on the other part, the green is from ice.
It's from the hail, yeah. The hail, again, is absorbing all of the spectrum except for the green, and it's the green that's coming on through, and it's, you know, it's that. I've seen it anywhere from like a decent dark forest light green to kind of like a lighter, seafoam green kind of a thing. So, it's just something to be aware of, to be sure.
It's a little eerie when you see it like that.
No doubt it is.
All right, 800-348-2551 is our telephone number here on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Jason Goff is our guest. We go to Andy in Hartford, Connecticut. Andy, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to ask a question here about, since we're on the tornado talk, and I'm kind of fascinated by these things. Obviously, I follow these across the country where when they usually come in and when they usually get going, they usually, roll in with the shelf clouds and all that stuff ahead of the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm kind of puzzled to why we don't really see them here. I mean, we did see them, last night down in the D.C. metro area. They were well-developed down there. But how come up here in, northern Connecticut, western Mass, maybe out towards Albany area, you don't see a lot of that, well-formed shelf cloud stuff ahead of the lines. And then, the whole texture that, they'll get down there, does it really mean anything in terms of because you don't have that, you can't get a strong supercell storm?
Oh, no, you certainly can. It just, I used to live in Washington, and I've lived in other parts of the country, and I will tell you the worst thunderstorms I experienced were in around Washington,
really?
D.C. Yeah.
Do you have
just
a reason for
all
that?
All the different. Well, they have, especially later in the evening, you get what they call a low level jet coming up, but you have the Blue Ridge Mountains off to your west. You have the Chesapeake Bay and the Atlantic to your east. And it just, there's a lot going on. D.C. is a heck of a place to forecast. And again, some pretty nasty storms are there as well. But to answer your question, so you are going to see those more down that way and certainly in other parts of the country too. But you can get a shelf cloud here. No problem. We see them every year, not every time we have a thunderstorm, obviously, but certainly we'll have some pictures every year of a shelf cloud that'll come through.
What is a shelf cloud again?
Basically, it's the edge of what we call an outflow boundary, and we have one of those left over from the storms that came through here this morning.
Yeah.
And so it's the leading edge of cold air. That cold air, sometimes if it can outrun the main flank of the storm, the storm will keep surviving because that cold air is what kills a thunderstorm.
Ah.
So this out ahead of it is going to continue to push to the east. If it's really racing through, you get real gusty winds, and you can feel how cold it is. So we can get those around here, but, one doesn't necessarily beget the other. Certainly you can have a supercell thunderstorm. We have one down to the south without a shelf cloud, and I'm just speculating that the outflow boundary left over from this morning is probably helping the storms into Columbia County right now.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Jason Goff is our guest. Ed in Marbletown. Ed, you're on.
Hey, yeah. The other weather person on the station always does something that's been kind of a minor pet peeve of mine. certainly compared to gun violence and Trump, it's pretty trivial. But for what it's worth, he says, one day the sunset, the sunrise and sunset, an increase of 3 minutes from yesterday, and then the next day 2 minutes from yesterday, and then the day after that 3 minutes. Now, my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the change in length of day is a very smooth continuum.
It is.
And that he's just rounding when he says that, and it's, I think he should clarify that.
Well,
no, you don't do that when you do the weather.
Well, it's, you know, when you if you look at a sunrise and a sunset table, the Navy actually puts it out where you can, you know, you can get the sunrise and sunset any day of the year.
Yeah.
They round it. So we're just going by, you know, the sunset today is going to be at whatever, 7:50, and then tomorrow it's going to be at 7:51. So then you just basically say it's a minute. Now it is less than that, and it is a continuum, and it's on a, if you look at it, it's a like a sine wave, you know, so you have over the course of a year, the length of days is, it is very smooth. But rather than, you know, again, we're talking to folks that generally aren't that concerned about the particulars that, you know, maybe it's not a 2 minute gain, maybe it's a minute and 42 seconds.
Yeah.
People are contented to say it's 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yep. But, you know, all right. Well, thanks for clarifying that.
Yes, sir.
Ed,
you're welcome.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it very much. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Meteorologist Jason Goff is our guest. How's the weather map looking?
Well, we have us, again, just to, if, in case our friends are just joining us, we do have a tornado watch until 8 o'clock tonight, but we also have a tornado warning for places like Germantown and Ankrum in New York. That's down into southern Columbia County, also places like Claremont, Taconic, Livingston. And then there's another warning that is to the west of that into, sorry, this stuff is literally just kind of coming in.
This is great, by the way. This is great.
Down in Ulster County, places like Ellenville, New Paltz, and then approaching the Hudson Valley itself, Marbletown. Didn't we have a caller from Marbletown before?
We may have, yes. My memory is pretty sketchy.
New Paltz, those spots, and I know, again, the WAMC listening area goes farther to the south. So for our friends down to the south of the Capital District, just to give you a point of reference, the weather is quite active down there as we speak.
All right, let's go to Donna in Averill Park. Donna, you're on.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, you can.
Okay, great. Thank you. I was in Mexico, and we were up on a high balcony and saw over the ocean a storm was approaching. And within 60 seconds, the temperature dropped about 15 degrees. It was hot, and as the storm front came, the temperature just immediately dropped. Is there a name for that kind of a weather change?
Well, I'm embarrassed, but just give me a quick repeat of that question, please.
Okay. We watched a storm coming in off of the ocean, and as the storm front hit us, within 60 seconds, the temperature dropped 15 degrees.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so I'm not sure if you were listening before, but we were talking about a shelf cloud and also an outflow boundary. Basically, what that is that colder air coming from within the thunderstorm coming out, and when it hits the ground or the water, as it were, it's going to rush out radially. It's not going to go, obviously, through the ground or into the water.
Right.
So it's going to rush out. So what you're feeling, actually, is the cold air from the core of the storm. And ultimately, that's what I said, kills the storm.
Oh, very interesting. Donna, thanks a lot for the call. We only have about 30 seconds here, but let's go to Tom in Mechanicville. Tom, you got 30 seconds.
Okay, great. I'd like to know why Dr. Jason is not discussing the role of geoengineering of our weather, which has been going on for about 70 years, and why are we never mentioning this?
Why are we not discussing it today? Because we have tornado warnings and watches.
Yeah, we're on more of an immediate need at the moment.
But that's a great one. Thank you for that. By the way, I had a question for you, and we read the forecasts all day long. You'll see mostly sunny. You'll see partly sunny. And then you'll see fair. What the hell is fair? What is it?
I'd never used those terms.
Okay. So you don't know.
Well, no, I take that back. I did used to say mostly sunny.
Yeah.
Well, never said partly sunny. That always drove me nuts.
But what's fair, dude?
Fair is basically just a few high clouds.
But isn't that mostly sunny?
Sure. Yeah.
So there's really no science to that at all. So we news guys who read weather.
Yeah, just, you know, fair skies. I hear more about that at night, but you could say mostly clear. Yeah, I don't know where all that stuff comes from.
All right, very quickly now. We only have about 10 seconds here. Richard in Corinth, you got about 10 seconds, buddy.
Hi, Jason, I'd love to know whether any other weather conditions would make clouds look green other than the hail that you mentioned.
Yes.
I've once seen green clouds, and I don't think it was connected with a storm.
All right, we're almost done.
It was near sunset.
Okay.
Yep, that very well. Oh, the sunset, that's a whole, we don't have time to get into that now, but that's a whole different phenomena. But you can also get green clouds with really heavy rain, big raindrops.
Okay, well, Jason Goff, thank you for being here. Stick around for the next 6 hours and help us with the weather.
No problem.
We'll need your help. Support comes from Waterwheel Village, Galway, New York, specializing in extra sharp New York cheddar since 1923, offering imported and domestic specialty cheeses, nostalgic candies, and more. Waterwheelvillage.com. Adirondack Aquatic Center, Malta, New York, a planned aquatic facility where children and adults with varying abilities in the region can learn, heal, play, exercise, train, and compete. AdirondackAquaticCenter.org. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, presenting its 6th annual Lake George Hikeathon, July 5th, a one-day event with 19 hikes and paddles. Register online at LakeGeorgeHikeathon.org. At Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire, Boar's Head Deli with daily specials, bakery, homemade fudge, smoked chicken, and rib dinners to go, plus fresh seasonal produce, whitneysfarm.com. Well, thanks again to the perfectly timed appearance by Jason Goff today. Thank you for the great calls and the emails. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer, and Susie Chekai for answering the phones. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis, who finally managed to get the guy in the studio today, which was very cool. Tomorrow, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is here for Pets and Vets. Right now, stand by for news.